You know, Chevron, we went a little bit longer in the Bedichever tonight, you know, it's a little bit. Just feeling we need the Koyach of the Bedichever these days, I don't know. It felt recently there's been a lot of tzaras, some of the Chevron at the table, especially the Chevron that was in Hass this past summer, dealing with the loss of a camper. The loss of a camper it's like the loss of a child. It's not just somebody that you knew. Mamish's angelic 3-year-old girl, Shindel Uva Basyoil of Shalom. No words. We're going to talk about her Matzah Shabbos more. A lot of the Chevra years have to do with sponsoring that shir for the women. I think it's appropriate. It should be for a woman's shir. She's a tzaddikas. But between that and this morning earlier today, even though Baruch Hashem started with a beautiful simcha, has a beautiful simcha of Alter, Altichel Mordechai, Johnny Silver, him and Tamar, beautiful simcha, beautiful to the Bechar, Shlomo Akiva. Then from there went to Levaya, the Levaya of Barry Gavrin, Zechasad Kashavracha, Talmud Eitan, Amir Yehuda's father, and he was like a Talmud of our yeshiva. Barry Gavrin wasn't just a father of DRS, he was a Talmud in DRS, he was Talmud Chaver of mine, I feel. You know, he was on fire with Avodas Hashem, on fire with Limud HaTorah. I mean, the Chaver knows, like, when I'm allowed, I go to Eretz Yisrael as often as I can. And, you know, I during the years when his children were there, you know, anytime I'd walk into Netavaria, he was there. And He was in the Beis Medrash, sometimes his son wasn't even there. And anytime I'd give shalshudas and shir him, he'd come. And he always had so much Torah to share and so much he wanted to share, but like with such passion, as if like, you know, like Shana Aleph, when the guy like just gets into learning and it's like the most exciting thing in the world, halavai that should last. Like for him, it lasted until the last day. It was like incredible. So it's been some difficult times, and that's why we're saying the Bedichever a little bit longer. The Bedichever was the one always arguing to the Rebbeinu Nishlam for us and how beautiful we are and special we are, and hopefully bring us chesim. So Kadosh Baruch Hu should have taken already the last neshamas that he needs for kapara. So he can only simcha and bracha. Pez Hashem is baruch. So all the Torah tonight, all the chizik tonight, all the saras tonight, it's being sponsored by a very special mishpacha for a refuah shleima, for someone I'm very, very close to. I don't want to give too many details. He didn't want all the who it is, but it's Hebrew name that people should have in mind. David ben Sion Avram ben Chaya El Kadina. We had to have a surgery done this morning. Baruch Hashem was successful and he's doing well. And Bez Hashem, it should be just for continued Besuras Toivas, continued Refuas and Yeshuas for him, and only Simcha and Bracha for him and his entire beautiful, incredible family. Amen. So, I want to learn something tonight that I was very excited to give over. Because, you know, very often, I'll explain why. Very often we talk on the parasha and try to bring out always ideas that's b'derech avoda, ideas not just to learn the parasha of the week, but to also ideas we can take away with us and hopefully connect to and mechazik ourselves and hopefully be life-altering each week. But tonight, and we'll see where we'll come from the parasha, tonight we're going to talk about something we're involved in literally three times every single day. And not just tefillah in general, but specifically Shemona Esrei, and specifically the opening bracha of Shemona Esrei. And maybe understand it in a deeper light, understand it in a deeper way. And this could be Torah and Chizik and Azoras that we could be reminded every single Shemona Esrei. And be mechazik ourselves every single Shemona Esrei. You know, when you open Shemona Esrei, really, obviously all of Shemona Esrei is very important. And Shemona Esrei is a time when we're literally standing in front of the Eibishter, that's the symbolism of taking three steps back. And people don't know this. Actually, someone came in the U.S. tonight and told me to ask me about this tonight, the whole structure of tefillah. You know, tefillah is very, very long. But really, all of Pesukei Zimra and all of Berachos Kriyas Shema and Shema, all of that, are beautiful tefillahs, but we're not standing in the palace talking to God yet. That's like the pump-up preparation. And that's like that we should remind ourselves how incredible Hashem is, and remind ourselves how special He is before we enter into the throne room, until we enter into the makom, that we're going to talk to Hashem, and we take our three steps back to symbolism. I'm walking away out of this world and three steps forward into the world of Hashem, and standing in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom. Standing in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom. And within Shemoneh Esrei, obviously every moment of Shemoneh Esrei is important, but from the Rambam, in a very famous... Beautiful timing. Very famous diuk by the Rambam. Very famous. I'm sure a lot of the chevras is chazara, but important chazara. And if it's not chazara, is one of the most famous chakiras of Reb Chaim in the Rambam. You don't usually talk such lamdish Torah here, you know? But it's all lamdish Torah. It's all one. That's all we have to remember. It's all one. The Rambam tells us in the Hilchos Tefillah, in Perek Dalet, Halacha Tesvav. So the Rambam tells us, Kavana Saleh. First of all, the Rambam earlier says there are five things that are ma'akiv tefillah. Five things that if we don't do it, tefillah doesn't work. It's not good. And one of that is Kavana. Kavana Saleh. But what does Kavana Saleh mean? Then he defines Ketzad. Kavana Saleh Ketzad. Perak Dal Pez. Halacha Tesvav. Kol tefillah she'ena b'kavana ain't a tefillah. V'mizbalel. Below Kavana. Choyzer mizbalel Kavana. Any part of tefillah. It's referring to Shemoneh Esrei, but any part of Shemoneh Esrei that you don't have kavana, you've ke'ilu uprooted your whole tefillah, and you got to start the whole Shemoneh Esrei over. It's heavy. Like some of us are thinking, have we even had one Shemoneh Esrei? We had a kavana the entire Shemoneh Esrei. You know, we start off maybe strong, and then like somehow we end, and we don't even know how we got there. It happens to all of us. Let's be real. So according to the Rambam, Choser mispal b'kavana. Mishnah Berurah goes through that we don't do that b'zman hazeh because probability is it's just going to be the same lack of kavana the next time. But l'maisa, that's the ikar halacha. However, the Rambam in Perek Yud, halacha Aleph, famously says what? Mishnah b'al b'lo kiven eslibo, yasur mispal b'kavana. That's exactly the same, right? Someone who davened didn't have kavana should go and daven again. However, he adds a new detail, which he didn't say earlier. Vim kiven eslibo bebracha rishona, if you have kavana in the first bracha, shuvei no tzarech, you don't need any other kavana. He didn't say that earlier. So comes the halacha of Chaim Brisker, and he explains that there's two different kavanas, right? Svei dinim, famous Reb Chaim, Svei dinim. There's two different kavanas that the Rambam's talking about. There's a kavana to know I'm standing in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom. There's a kavana to know I'm standing in front of Hashem. And there's a kavana of pirish hamilim, knowing what the words mean. Obviously there are other kavanas, it's much deeper than that. But the Rambam's two kavanas that are necessary, that he's talking about, is that I'm standing in front of Hashem, and that I know what the words mean. And Chaim explains, the Rambam that says you need kavana all of Shemoneh Esrei, is that I'm always standing in front of Hashem, the entire Shemoneh Esrei. Even if I don't know what I'm saying, I don't know what the words mean, as long as I know I'm standing in front of Hashem, yoytze. But when he emphasizes the first bracha, that's referring to pirush milim. The first bracha is the most important, and I have to know what every word means. The first bracha is the bracha where I define my relationship with Hashem, where I understand how great Hashem is, which is the whole purpose of that tefillah, to get close to Hashem. Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibur, Vanayra. I have to know what every single word means in that first bracha. That's what the Rambam says. So we see that the first opening bracha of Shemoneh Esrei is mamish kodesh kedoshim, maybe the most important tefillah there is. Because Shemoneh Esrei is the pinnacle, and the first bracha we see is the most chashuv. So we have to understand this first bracha a little deeper tonight. Really, it's Rashi at the beginning of this week's parasha tells us something very deep. You should know, I was going to hold off till the end to even mention his name because I don't want to spend the next few hours talking about him. But it's my Rebbe's Yahrzeit coming up. Matzah Shabbos Sunday, right? Is Yud Aleph. My Rebbe, Rav Nachman Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Vracha. We'll talk more about him at the end, share a story. I'm going to start thinking about my Rebbe. Kodesh Kedoshim, my Hey. So much of who I am, if I'm anything, is only because of just that kasher that I had, the most special person in the world. My highlight of every trip to Eretz Yisrael is just spending the minutes with the Rosh Hashiva. Going to just to his Erev Shabbos Shmuz. You know what it was to go to his Erev, if you only were able to go to his Erev Shabbos Shmuz. You couldn't go to that Shmuz and not be a different person, a better person. It was impossible. When you'd walk in and you'd be in his house and he'd be giving over his life and giving over his heart and mamish with Parkinson's disease and his body in every direction and giving over the most beautiful Torah and the most beautiful life. You knew every word you felt was Torah Mesinai. Every word was like Kodesh Kedoshim. I'm not talking because it was like the deepest Torahs you've heard. This wasn't like deep Ramazim or Vamatal or mamish, you know, Kabbalah. It was Torah from the heart, Torah from the Neshama, Torah straight from Hashem in the most loving way you've ever heard Torah in your life. Like, you never heard Torah like this. There wasn't a time, and I was probably saddened at that Shmuz, I don't know, well over 100 times. There wasn't a time I wasn't crying throughout it. There wasn't a time. And not necessarily that he said something that was like, it wasn't that, sometimes it was because he said a story and said a Torah that was like so heartwarming you could not cry. And most of the time, it's just that in the middle of Shmuz, I felt like I'm the luckiest person in the world that I have the schus to sit here and learn Torah from the most special person in the world. And this is like the most beautiful thing ever. Ever. Like, if only you guys knew what that was. If only you guys knew what that was. To sit by Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. And it was Nisim Gluyim. There were times, Emes Chaver, there were times that I went in to talk to my Rebbe before the Shmuz, to talk, to ask Eitzah. And there were times, because he had Parkinson's, and I go, and this happens sometimes, and I ask him, he'd be laying on his couch sometimes in the dining room and where he'd give the Shmuz. And I go talk to him, and he would open his mouth. He couldn't get words out because of the Parkinson's in nature, but it controlled his muscles, and part of that was the muscles of the vocal cords, and sometimes he just couldn't get words out. There was no, like, he couldn't. And you, sometimes you knew, you stood and you waited, and sometimes he'd give. If not, you'd say, thank you, Rebbe, I'll come back, and you walk away. There's nothing more you could do. That happened at times. But there were times I did that to him, literally minutes before the Shmuz, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, there's not going to be a Shmuz today. But then when it comes to time that he's koveit him to give over Torah, so suddenly within minutes, like, his dining room, which may be like double the size of this, you know, was 120 guys huddled around his table, which was like, you know, like this. This is why, yeah, this was a set of microscopes. That's why I got this exact set. This was the set that Rosh Yeshiva used, exactly like this. You know, open here with a microphone. And I'd sometimes sit at the table, sometimes sit the row right behind the table, right here on the right side, because it was the best, I found the best seat because it was right under where the speaker was. Because his voice was hard, so I knew you'd heard the Rosh Yeshiva something better by the speaker than even right next to him. So I'd like to sit right over there. 20 minutes of Torah. Like, mom is 20 minutes of Torah. And then if you went over to him afterwards and tried to take a Shabbos, you couldn't get the words Shabbos out. But Torah is Kodesh Kedoshim. Like, Nisim Gluyim. You saw Nisim Gluyim. I would watch him just walk from his house to the yeshiva. It was Nisim Gluyim. His body flaying in every direction. And like, you thought Malachim were carrying him. It has to be. When I was by him for Shabbos Suda, and he'd make Kiddush. And like, right before you see his body going like this, and make Kiddush. And he wouldn't lift the kais. He'd hold it down because of the nature, but he'd hold the kais. But then he'd go and pour into all the little glasses. I spill more every week than the Rosh Yeshiva somehow would spill. It would, like, it didn't make Nisim Gluyim. See, I told you, there's so much more, but I remember it. So I went to speak to him once about tefillah. I went to speak to him once about tefillah. Because I was struggling in davening and wanting to have kavanah. And Emma says, I'm still struggling. Wish I had the Rosh Yeshiva to talk to about it. And he gave me two eitzes that I'll never forget. And they're both very simple, pashut. One eitzah was, he told me, before I start my Shemoneh Esrei, take a few moments and think you're about to walk into the palace of the king and talk to the Eibishter. Just think about that. The other eitzah was, put your finger on the place and follow the words in the siddur. And by the way, on a side point, you should know the Rosh Yeshiva, who obviously knew Kol, not just Torah, but the whole siddur Baal Peh. He used to watch, and to the best of his ability because of Parkinson's, that's the way he davened Shemoneh Esrei, with his finger on the place. Literally. But I always thought those two Eitzes were connected to this Reb Chaim. And Reb Chaim says, all Shemoneh Esrei, you should think Hashem, you're standing in front of Hashem, and for the first bracha, at least Pirush HaMilim. So he wanted me, before you start Shemoneh Esrei, to think you're about to enter into the palace of the king, so you could be standing in front of Hashem. And if you're pointing to the place, you're going to focus on the words, maybe, and think about what the words mean a little bit more. Anyways, we'll talk more about the Rashida later. L'maisa, first bracha Shemoneh Esrei. So listen to this, Chevra. I don't know if you... Pashat Rashi. Chevra, I don't know if Chevra's been Ma'avir Sedra and read Rashi yet. On the opening bracha to Avram, Avram Vina told, Vayomer Hashem Avram, Lech Lecha Me'atcha 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 Me'atcha. Leave your homeland and go to the place I'm going to show you. And what's going to happen there in Eretz Yisrael? What's going to happen? This is a promise to all of us, and probably all of us should be in Eretz Yisrael, and it's a makom of bracha, because it's when you go to Eretz Yisrael, the eschalogai gadol, v'avarechacha, v'gad l'shemecha, v'ebracha, I'm going to make you into a great nation, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to make your name great, this is me all bracha. Only in Eretz Yisrael. Only in Eretz Yisrael. What are we doing here? Can anyone really say what we're doing here? Can anyone really say what we're doing here? Okay, I'm here because of you guys. Let's go. Let's all go. Let's just decide. That's it. I don't know what we're doing here. You think that promise to Avram wasn't to each and every one of us? Anyways, not for, time's not right now. I mean, it should be. Maybe we should. I don't know. That's what we're talking about with the Shabbos. If Chevra wants to sneak into the women's share, I don't know. L'maisa. So Rashi says on the pasuk, "Ve'eschol l'gai gadol, ve'varacha v'gad l'shemecha." Ve'eschol l'gai gadol, zeh shomrim el kei Avram. That's what we were. That's a remez del kei Avram. Ve'avarachacha, bless you. Zeh shomrim el kei Yitzchak. V'gad l'shemecha, zeh shomrim el kei Yaakov. When we start with el kei Avram, kei Yitzchak, kei Yaakov is bracha. Thought, what can you say? Pshat and Rashi is. V'eschol God, I'll make you a great nation. That was the promise to Avinu. That's a little cavern, right? Avinu is the first that's going to be the leader of a great nation. It all came from him. V'avarecha, I'll give you a bracha. When you think of brachas in the Torah, what is the biggest episode of bracha in the Torah? Is the brachas that Yitzchak's giving over to Yaakov, that takes it from Esav. So he's makar bracha, we see over there at some level. V'avarecha is okay, Yitzchak. V'gadlu shemecha, your name's going to be great. Whose name was changed? Yaakov to Yisrael, and Mamish, that he's the one that where the nation becomes great, and the name becomes great. V'gadlu shemecha, maybe. But we have to understand all this. That's just a pasha pshat. We have to understand the kesher of this nisayon of Avram to all of the brachos of Shemoneh Esrei. We have to understand also. You have to understand also, you know, if we say L'kei Avram, L'kei Yitzchak, L'kei Yaakov, why do we end with Magen Avram? Meaning, Shemoneh Esrei is starting out by beseeching and connecting to Tzchus Avos and connecting to recognize it's L'kei Avram, L'kei Yitzchak, L'kei Yaakov. And then at the end of the bracha, the closing of the bracha, the chasima, now it's only Avram. Like, what? And by the way, the Rashi continues and says that. Right? Yachol yechos min mekulon. You might think you should close by all of them. Talmud lomer v'hei bracha, based on the pasuk, v'hei bracha tells us what? B'chachos min v'lo behem. Close only with Avram. But why? We have three of us. Why not mention them all again at the end of the bracha? And also we have to understand the following. Also understand, why does it say Elokei Yaakov? Yaakov's name is changed to Yisrael. And Yaakov's name is not just changed to Yisrael. Listen to the Gemara in Brachos, some of the Chevra might know. Daf Yubez. The Gemara says, the bottom of Yubez and Bez, Lo Yikra Shimcha Od Yaakov Kim Yisrael. The Pasuk says, no longer is your name going to be called Parshas Vayishlach, no longer is your name going to be Yaakov by Yisrael. Yeshemecha. Lo she yaker Yaakov mimkomo. Not that we uproot Yaakov. We still call him Yaakov. El Yisrael Iker v'Yaakov Tafel. The main name of Yaakov is Yisrael now, after he fought with the Malach Shel Esav. So if that's his main name, that's Beferish Gomorrah, that's his Iker. Why do we refer to him as Yaakov in Shmon Esrei? Why do we call him Yaakov in Shmon Esrei? So first of all, I saw a beautiful just Remez Eldavar in that, which we'll come back to. From the Heligat Semach Sadik vision, it's... If you call him Yaakov, if you add up Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchok, Velokei Yaakov, there are 26 letters. So it's Remez L'Shem Havaya. We bring Havaya into the picture. And that's maybe a Remez, what the Pasuk means. Listen to this. Shir HaMalos L'David, in Kapitel Kuf Chav Dalad. Lulei Hashem Shayelano. If it was not for the fact that we wanted to bring Hashem, Yomer Na Yisrael, we would have said Yisrael. Meaning what? It should say Yisrael. But because we wanted to bring it to Hashem, we say Yaakov. Okay, this is a cute Remez L'Davar. What's a deeper understanding? The Rebbeinu Chaya teaches us. Rebbeinu Chaya teaches us the difference between Yaakov and Yisrael. And the truth is, it's a Zohar, we'll see in a minute. It's in Parshas Vayechi. That he says that the Ksuvim Lahaskir Yaakov, when we mention Yaakov, Eitzel Nyanim HaChomrim, it's to pertain to more physical things, more mundane, Adavim HaMurkavim HaGufanim, things that are resting upon the physical. The mundane, it's the lower name. V'Yisrael, Eitzel HaDvarim HaPshutim HaDakim HaZakim Baruchniyim. Yisrael is the name that's utilized when talking about more spiritual, more pure entities. In other words, Yaakov is the lower name, and Yisrael is the loftier name. And the famous is the Beferish HaZohar. The Zohar says in Truma, Amar B'Shimon, Begin Kach Yisrael Iskere, Ditana Yaakov Tata'a, V'Yisrael Ila'a. Yaakov is the lower, Yisrael is the loftier. Yaakov Lav Shleimusa. Yaakov is not complete. Yisrael Shleimusa. And that's why we're B'nai Yisrael. We're not B'nai Yaakov. So why is it a Lokei Avram, Lokei Yitzchok, Lokei Yaakov? Shouldn't it be so much more special? Okay, instead of Sadik, we'll put him to the side for a moment. That's a deep Remez L'Davar. But Bepashtus, don't we want to be Elohei Yisrael? So listen to this. That was tremendous. So this Torah from the Heilige Shvila Pinchas. I don't remember who we quoted, if he did. You know, first of all, think when he's davening. There's a big, big Torah in davening. Are you ready? Don't ever forget this. Don't ever forget this. And we could be reminded of this every single first brach of Shemon Esrei. A person thinks you daven. For Hashem to enter my tefillos, I have to be Kodesh Kedoshim. For Hashem to enter my tefillos, if I fell in Shemir Sinayim, I'm going to go daven then? Why would Hashem listen to me? Why does Hashem care about me? If I didn't learn well today, I showed up at 10:30 of the Seder and I learned for 20 minutes and I joked around with my friends and I went to take a break and I hardly learned today. I'm going to go to Mincha. Hashem's going to care about my tefillahs. What did I show him? We have nothing to show. If I have a great day and I mamish learn ba'amelus and I'm kaddish in my shmir sinayim and I'm nice to everyone, then I'm going to daven and my tefillahs will be makabel. But if I'm not, the Pashtus wants to think like this, right? That's like just the norm. That's how one would think. And this is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu was asking Hashem. What Moshe Rabbeinu was asking Hashem in the beginning of Shemos, when Moshe Rabbeinu is asked to take us out of Mitzrayim, and we know when we were in Mitzrayim, we were like the lowest of low. We think we're low now. Baruch Hashem, we're not so. By the way, I just said that, but like, there's so much good going on. So much, you have to... Yeah, there's a lot of nisyonos in the world that we live in. We live in a very sick world. We live in a scary world. We live in a world that the Yetzer Hara is coming at us left and right like never before in history. But even in that world, look at us. Look at us right now. Look at the chevra. Look around the room right now. It's 12 o'clock at night, Thursday night, the very end of the week. People are tired. People have had a long week. It's very easy to just chill and throw in the towel and not be... doing anything that's serious. Not even nothing, I don't mean chas v'shalom, anything terrible, but nothing, just chilling. Or sleeping, or... And we're here, look at this. This is beautiful. This says so much. Maybe my week wasn't perfect. Maybe I didn't learn well every Seder. Maybe I didn't daven well every Tvila. Maybe I fell in Yoni and Nisyonos at times. But I'm here, and that means that says so much. There's so much beauty going on. Those of us that are together, I know it's blood. Those that are together last Matzah Shabbos. I mean, I'm sitting next to Moshe David by the Halula. There's certain events you got to be at. The Halula with Rabbi Yosef Kaduna, Rabbi Weinberger is like Kodesh Kedushin. Is any of the Chevra there? Some of the Chevra there? No. You missed out. You can't miss out on certain events. There's certain things you can't miss out on. We're in Chutz Laaretz, so mamash we're suffocated, and you have to like find Ruchni. So there's certain things that like are highlights, and they keep us going. That's one of the Halula of the Eish Kodesh by Rav Moshe Weinberger with Rabbi Yosef Kardun or Tzadik Yisoid Olam is like, I don't know, that's one of mine. You know, I would assume it'd be one of yours. You just missed it. You didn't know, but okay. No Moshe David, what do you say?
I liked it.
You feel it still?
Of course, I'm still there.
Anyways. But we're good. We're doing beautiful things. There's a lot of good in the world. A lot of beautiful things is yidden in the world. A lot of beautiful things. You know, at the Levaya, I was speaking about earlier, at the Gavrin Levaya, I think it was Amir, his son Amir Yehuda. And he said the amount of chesed, the amount that was done for their family over the last few weeks when their father was suffering, was in a difficult situation, what people stepped up in every way, he said he can't believe Mashiach's not here from it. Like, Klal Yisrael is amazing. We're amazing. Bein Adam L'Machaver, Bein Adam L'Makom. We're not perfect, but we're amazing. Each and every one of us here is amazing. That we're just here is incredible. It's not a small thing. A lot of our friends are not here. I don't judge them. Chas v'shalom, I don't mean that, but... Anyways, but at the same time, there are times when we fall and times when we're not living up to who we should be individually. And the zman of getting back to Galus Mitzrayim, we're taught, was like the lowest of points. 49th level of Tumah. So Yomer Moshe Elokim Hashem says to Hashem, Moshe says to Hashem, Henochi Baal B'nei Yisrael, I'm going to come to Yisrael, V'amartalem, and I'm going to say to them, L'keav Aseichem Shalachani Lechem, the God of your father sent me to take you out. V'amrali, they're going to say to me, Mashemo, what's his name? Ma'omer Lechem, what am I going to say to him? Now what is that talking about? What is that talking about? Are they really going to be considered, imagine this, right? Imagine the scene, you ever think about this pasuk? You all know this pasuk, right? So imagine this scene, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come to Klal Yisrael and say, the God of your father said to take you out. Really, that's going to be the response of Bnei Yisrael? Like, what's his name? What do you mean, what's his name? God, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the Baal Shefa, the Eibishter, I don't know, whatever you want to call him. God of your father. We're going to say, okay, Avoseichem, that's good enough for me. Like, what does it mean, Mashemo? There's a lot of deep tires on this. And maybe Pshat is. What's Shemo Hashem that we always think about? Is Iker name? Again, there's a lot of names, but it's Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Shem HaRachamim, Shem of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. It's Shem Havaya, which is Matthew 26, which will come back. It's Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, the letters. 26 letters. And that's the name of Rachamim, but they're saying, they're going to ask, Mashemo, Rachamim, Shkoyach. What he's trying to say is like, why do we deserve to come out? What name, meaning the name, a name is the essence, a name is the character trait. What name of God is going to be willing to take us out? What name of God? Meaning what part of his personality, of his ways, his din, his God, his judgment, we're 49th level of Tumah. We don't deserve to come out. Like, what connection could we have? Mashemo, meaning what part of God, what name of God is he going to use to take us out when we're so low? We don't deserve it. Moshe's like, B'nai Yisrael's going to laugh in my face. What does Hashem say? Listen. First he says, Eya, which we know is about tshuva. Tell them, Eya, Hashem, I will be. Don't worry about where you are now. I know where you're going to be. But then he continues, Vayomer Od, and say additionally, Vayomer Od Elokim Moshe. I'm sorry, Hashem said more to Moshe. He said, Kosomer B'nei Yisrael. This is what you should say to them. Listen to what you say. Hashem Elokei Avoseichem. Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, the same words that we say every morning in the beginning of Shemona Esrei. Shalachani Aleichem, Zeh Shemi L'Olam. You know what's my name? Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. What was he saying? You know what he was saying? He was saying, we use there Elokei Yaakov, not Elokei Yisrael. Why? It should be Elokei Yisrael. That's a loftier name. We saw in the Zohar. We saw in the Rabbeinu Bechaye. No. Elokei Yaakov means Yitzchak Yaakov means, just even when you're like Yaakov. Even when you're like Yaakov, not just when you're like Yisrael. Even when you're B'nai Yaakov, not just B'nai Yisrael. I love you. I'm your father. I'm your Tata in Hemel. And I'm going to take care of you. That's the Rabban Shalom that's going to take you out. And every single Shemon Esrei, we start off our opening line. Baruch Hashem, L'keinu B'klei Avaseinu, L'kei Avram, L'kei Yitzchak, V'lekei Yaakov. It's to remind us, and Zeshemi, because when you add it up, like Tzemach Tzadik says, right? With Yaakov is 26 letters. That's Shemi, my name, Havaya, that's full of Rachamim. That's how far my Rachamim goes for you. That's how far it goes. I'm your father, I love you. Don't wait. I'll answer your tefillahs. It doesn't matter where you're holding. It doesn't matter what you're living up to. I'm your father. A child screams out to father. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Shem loves us. We have to think about that at the beginning of every Shemona Esrei. Mamash is a different Shemona Esrei now. If I could think about this, this is life-altering, this Torah. I have to call my Rebbe tomorrow, Shvil Pinchas, just to thank him. I think this was from Tavshin Pei, if I'm not mistaken, from the Sefer. Look it up if anyone wants to see it. But Lemaisa, maybe we could call him the end of Shir. It'll be up already. We have to thank him. Such a Torah, it could be, we're going to have different Shemona Esreis. There's a story I said years ago, but I don't know if any of the Shira was there, maybe. I heard this originally from Yossi Spiegel. He said it Shabbos Shuva about 15 years ago. And just this year, I wasn't there Shabbos Shuva, but at the Shabbos Shuva Drosha this year, I was in Queens for Shabbos, I wasn't there, but he pulled the Rav Waxman. And he gave Shabbos Shuva drasha for like half of it, and then he wrote a song. And that night he did Mlav Malka and recorded the song. If anyone wants it, it's incredible. I can send it to you. It's so beautiful. It's mamish. If you know, we all thought no one else but Rav Waxman could do this. Rav Waxman's Kodesh Kedoshim. This doesn't take away. But Rav Yossi happens to have a beautiful voice, and he's talented as could be. And mamish, it's the same style as Rav Waxman, with the most incredible chizik you've ever heard. And this is a story. The story he said 15 years ago he used in this song. What's the story? The story is, it's by the Korean War. No, I'm sorry, the Vietnam War. Not that it makes a difference to Anyways, maybe that's the same war, you know. I don't even know. What do we know? Okay, anyways. It was the Vietnam War. And the Vietnam War, if you know a little bit of history, it was like mamish, a bloodbath, and it was terrible, and a lot of people were injured and killed. And I don't remember the names. I'm making up the names. So just to make the story flow, I'm going to make up names. But it was a guy, Mike. And not a good makeup. So Mike was out. It was a soldier. And it wasn't like today. You know, today, even at war, you have WhatsApp. Yeah, like, Mom, in the middle of shooting, I'll talk to you later. Like, not a joke, like, literally. Just scary stuff, I don't know. You know, so, by the Vietnam War, like, your son went to war, and you didn't hear from them for a year, you know, like Elisa. And you're just hoping they're okay. And so the war was coming to a close, and Mike was gonna be going home, and he finally had the opportunity to call his home. They were so excited. They picked up the phone. Mom, Dad, it's Mike. Wow, awesome. I'm okay. I'm good. I'm coming home. They're bringing us home. You know, we're taking a boat. I'll be home in a week. Whatever it is. Wow, incredible. We can't wait to see you. Mike says, yeah, it's going to be incredible. But you know, I have this friend that I met here, John. And John also, you know, he's let out. But John, he doesn't have any family to go to. he has no family, and after the war, I was thinking maybe he could come with me and he could stay by us for a while just to have a warm family after. And his parents are like, yeah, for sure. That would be beautiful, Mike. Bring your friends. No problem. He says, yeah, but I got to just tell you one thing about John. You know, John, in one of the battles were fierce here. And he actually, he lost an arm. They thank God they were able to amputate. They were able to save him. He's okay, but he lost an arm. That's okay, no problem. We're good. Bring him. It's okay. But also, they had to amputate both of his legs. It was a terrible battle, and it was a bomb, and they saved his life. But he's missing an arm and two legs. I just want to make sure it's okay. And then he hears a pause on the phone. And his father comes back and he says, you know, Mike, you have a younger sister at home. I'm sure your friend, you know, is wonderful and we're okay. But like, I don't know if she'll be able to handle that, the trauma after war. And like, maybe it's a better idea if you find somewhere else for John. And Mike says, yeah, I get it. No problem, Dad. Okay, fine. It's okay. He'll find somewhere else. And okay, a few days go by. It's a day when they're supposed to come to the port, and Mike's parents go to the port, and they're waiting, and the boat comes in, and all the soldiers coming off, everybody, and they don't see Mike anywhere. And finally, the head soldier, the lieutenant, the general, whoever it was, comes off the boat, and like, you know, we're Mike's parents. Where is he? Called us. He's coming. And like, yeah, he survived the war, but I'm so sorry. Just a few days ago, we don't know what happened, but he took his life. That's it. And behind him was rolling off a coffin. But he, you know, we brought him back to bury here. And the parents open up the coffin, and they see Mike. Mike's bit. You know, not how they thought they'd see him. It's their son, they see the face, it's Mike, but he's missing an arm. And he's missing two legs. And they just break down crying. And you see, the problem was that Mike got it all wrong. And Mike tried to throw it the way of his parents as a friend to see if his parents would be comfortable with what he went through and welcoming him back and taking care of him and being there for him. But what Mike didn't realize is a very big difference when it's your own child. And your own child, no matter what state he's in, no matter where he's holding, there's a tremendous unconditional love, and I'll take you in and take care of you and be there for you and give you the world. And that's the Eibishter towards us. The Eibishter towards us is not just a Elokei Yisrael. The Eibishter to us is our Tat in Himmel, is Avinu Shebashamayim. And no matter what we fall into, and no matter where we are, He's going to take care of us. And it doesn't matter if sometimes we feel like we're missing limbs because we mess up in such ways. And we feel like we don't live up to who we're supposed to be. You know what? The Eibishter is our Tat. He loves us. And He's going to accept our tefillos, and He's going to answer our tefillos, and He's going to give to us. When you, it's your child, you want to keep on giving no matter what. And that's what we have to believe in. And that's why we say Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, which we learned from this week's parasha. But the emes is, at the same time, we want to be Elokei Yisrael. At the same time, we want to not just get it because Hashem loves us as our Father. We want to earn it. We want to deserve. And seemingly there's going to be more bracha that way. And it's going to be nigla, not nister. And in the most beautiful ways, because as much as the parent will take care of all their children, as much a parent loves all their children. There's a different schar when there's nachas from the children. And we want to bring our parents nachas. But what nachas specifically? There's so many areas. Sometimes it's just too much. You know, sometimes I don't even know where to focus upon, because there's 613 things I need to be doing. Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. The Zohar tells us there's three different ways in Avodas Hashem. The Mishnah Novos tells us, Ashlosh Dvarim Olam Omeid, HaTorah Al Avodah V'Atmiyas Chasadim. And the Zohar says, Torah Da Yaakov. Avodah Da Yitzchak. And Chesed Da Avram. As we know, Avram was Ish Chesed, Yitzchak was Gevurah, was like it's Yitzchak was Avodah, was Tefillah, and Yaakov is Torah Ish Tam Yoshev Ohalim. All three are important. All three are important. Torah is important. Tefillah is important. Chesed is important. Torah, we gotta have bikoveit and latorah always. I don't think I shared the story at this year yet. I shared it when I was in Queens for Shabbat. I shared it, but before already, a few months ago, I had a bris. Not today, I had a bris. And I saw it was a Talmud from one of the earlier classes. I don't want to say which one, I don't want to give too many details. And he had a few of his friends there that I haven't seen in a while. One of them that I was particularly very, very close to that I haven't really seen in a while. And we were spending time and I asked him, you know, where are you going? I had to get back to DRS. It was on the first days of Yeshiva. But I drove him to the train, so we had a few minutes together. And he said to me, Rebbe, I don't know if you remember this, but I have to thank you for something. And when he brought it back, I remembered that this was maybe 2.5 years ago, before COVID began. There was a simcha, and I was with him in a simcha. We were talking for a while, and I saw there was something lacking. He wasn't as besimcha as he was, whatever it was. And I look at him, I say, tell me something. What are you learning these days? What are you learning these days? He said, I go to the rabbi, Shir and Shabbos. I said, no, but what are you learning daily? And this is a boy that went to one of the top yeshivas there at Israel and sat and learned in YU, 2 Siddharma a day, from sitting and learning for years. And Lamaisa, you know what happens in life? And he's wonderful. He's Ben Tari, he's a wonderful person. He loves learning. It's just he had a very serious job, and you have a wife, and you have children, and you have so many responsibilities, and it takes crazy mesiris nefesh to be koveyet motor at that point in your life. It's not like now where it's so conducive and you have it set up, and you have a morning seder, and you have a night seder, and you have shir, and you have everything spoon-fed. Even though obviously there are other challenges and you do have secular studies classes and you do have other things and dating and other things going on in your life and whatever it might be and wife and other things maybe at times. But ultimately, you're all here very, very young and have the ability to have the time in the day and it's conducive. You know, later in life, you don't have the time. You have to steal the time. You have to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to learn or 6 o'clock in the morning to learn before you daven. And you have to go out late at night and you have to be moiser nefesh to learn. And that's very, very, very hard. It has to be such a part of you, and it has to be such. So I said to him, listen, you gotta be Kuwaitian. I'm telling you, I'm not for me, not for the revolution, for yourself. You'll be much happier. Yeah, you'll be so much more happy. Just even learn 1-2 Mishnahs a day. I'm not telling you, it's not about how much. Everybody has to find a different amount. We had this talk, that was it. I left it, I never checked up, I never anything. He told me, I want you to know I took it seriously, and soon after I started, he said it with a few chevra, he started chabura. I forget if he said once a week, twice a week. But then it was a few months before the Sima Shas. I'm sure some of the chevra was by the Sima Shas. January 1st, 2000. A few months before COVID. And he said he went with his father-in-law. And he was so inspired and he remembered our talk. He said, Rebbe, and this was a month ago, this is almost 2 years later. He says, I haven't missed one day of Daf Yomi. I never even had to make it up once. I didn't miss one day since then. And it's changed my life. Torah is so important. It's such a different life. Tefillah, we all know. The tefillah is our connection to Hashem. Tefillah is the time we have to talk to Hashem. Tefillah is our relationship with Hashem. To daven, to really daven. Not to just have Hebrew reading exercises. Take time to really daven. You know what? The foundation of it all is Chesed. Derech Eretz Kadmah LaTorah. Torah is crucial. Tefillah is crucial. But you want to know where to focus. You want to know what's most important. Most important. And don't ever forget this. And I know we spend so much time learning and yeshiva and your shemayim and sometimes we miss the boat because it's not spoken about enough. The foundation of it all is Chesed. And that's why some people ask me because I'm trying mechazik guys and your shemayim and Torah is realizing, Rebbe, why do you push hask so much? People ask me all this all the time. MS, people ask me this, why do you push hask so much? What do you, and I don't only push ask. I do push ask a lot. I'm not going to push ask a lot. I'm a very big fan, obviously, of Kem Simcha as well. And I'm a very big fan of people learning. I mean, I think I hope people know that by now. In a very serious way. I'm also pushing guys to stay in Shana Gimel. In a very real way. But I push ask so much because Derech Eretz Kamal Torah. Push ask so much because you're meeting a much better father and a much better husband and a much better person. And because Olam Chesed Yibana and the God just gives and gives and gives, and we have to emulate the Rabbanu Shalom and be a Baal Chesed and Baal Rachamim. And Derech Eretz Kadmol Taira. And you have to be the best person you could be before you're the best Jew you could be. And the emes is one and the same. If you really understand, it's all of Avodas Hashem. And too few understand that, unfortunately. And to be the nicest person there is. To be the person that wherever you go, you're the one cleaning up everything afterwards. And you're the one preparing. And you're the one that you never go anywhere where you don't make sure that you go over to the host and wherever you are and give a real hakar satov, a real thank you. The simple, small things. And then obviously the bigger things. And you're the one coming home tomorrow and going to your mother and saying, what could I do? Not waiting to be asked to go out to do things. What could I do to help to prepare for Shabbos? And be the most special husband in the world where you're doing for your wife and you're doing for your children. And yes, even sacrificing your learning and even sacrificing your davening at times, if need be. And not that you should be koveya Torah on the deepest of ways, but on your time, not on other people's times. So then when everyone's sleeping, you learn from 11 to 1 at night. And you wake up early. And when your children are up, you be with them and you give to them and you give to your wife. But not just at home, you give to others. You make sure you go to sleep every night saying, I was the nicest person in the world today. There's nothing more important. And you know how we know it? Because Rashi says it, and because I say it every morning. Because Rashi says, Yaakov, oh, Yachol Yechois Min Bekulan, maybe we should seal it all three, with Torah, Avoyde, and Gemil Chesed, with Avrizik and Yaakov. No. Bechachois Min. You know how we end Shimon Esri first, that first bracha? Magen Avram. Just focus on Avram. It's all important. We need Torah, we need Tefillah. But you know what the foundation of it all is? Chesed. Is caring for others, is giving to others. Bechachoismin. Why is that all right here? Where do you get it from all here? What are the first words to Avram Avinu, to the first Jew of history, and to each and every one of us? Lech lecha. Go just be yourself. You know when you're not an ish chesed? When you're worried about taking so much more. You're not satiated with yourself. So I need this and I need that. I need to make myself look good in other people's eyes. And it's all about me. Lech lecha means just be yourself. You're good. You're good. Lech lecha, you're good. Go to yourself. You're good. You don't need more. Now go out and help other people. Now go out and be there for other people. Now go out and care for other people. You know you were zoiche to? V'eschol ha'gad v'rachacha v'agad l'shemecha v'hei bracha. Go el aras asher areka. Areka gematra 222 is barech. You'll get all the blessings in the world. If you just give of yourself. If you're just lecha, you're yourself, you're good. B'chacha yisvin. Don't stop giving to others. However, we can think about this every Shemoneh Esrei. Every Shemoneh Esrei, these two Yesodos. We could start off Shemoneh Esrei. Imagine if this is how we davened every day. Imagine our life would be different. Imagine we davened in a way that I open up my Shemoneh Esrei. If Shemoneh Esrei, okay, Avram, Ketzim, okay, Yaakov. And I say, wow, it's okay, Yaakov. You know what? Hashem loves me. No matter who I am, Hashem loves me. I have such a deep relationship. He's my father. And then I get to the end and I say, oh, but it's Magen Avram. I remember, I want to be the best I could be still. So I want to have Torah like Yaakov and I want to have Tefillah like Yitzchak. But you know where my most important focus has to be? Magen Avram. That's why it's Bechach Ha'isman. I got to recheck myself. Am I the nicest person in the world? Have I been the nicest I could be today? And the emes is, that was the godless of my Rebbe, Nassim Sivinkel Zeichas Adikash Baracha. Those of us that knew him, that had a real relationship with him, understood. See, when you read the books and you heard about him, so you focus on the incredible Amelus Betorah, and it was like nobody else that I ever heard of. The literally as the 15-hour days of sitting and learning, the staying up till 4 in the morning on Friday nights, to sitting and learning. These are the stories that are legendary. The sheer klalis, where he'd stand and have shtenders around him to make sure he could stay up. The all-day learning with others, giving to others. But the biggest was not just the Torah. The Torah was. He was a gadol. But to me, he was the biggest gadol and chesed that I've ever met in my life. And that was at Tzidkus. That was B'chach Yisman. I'll never forget. I remember it's like, just you see where Yisrael Uri sitting? This is where I would sit when I'd go for Suda. And imagine the Shiva of the gadol ador right here, and I would be here. What I would do for one more Shabbos Suda like that. And imagine, this is what would happen. So the Rebbetzin would bring out, it would be fish. And I'd finish my fish. You know who would take my fish plate? Nassim Tzvi Finkel, Zeichar Tzadik Kol Frach, would take away my fish plate. So help the Rebbetzin a little bit, to at least. And the Chevra, I'm sure I've shared this with all of you, but just to end with the story that I cannot share, because the world needs to hear this story. I haven't seen any of the books yet. I've seen it written up. Someone sent me, like on the internet, people have heard it and wrote it up. I've seen it sent out and written up and different things, but I said this over this year or last year, because I brought down the envelope. No, Chevra, I should bring it down. I have to get it again to show the Chevra. I might have it every year. See, the Rosh Yeshiva, Nazim Finkel, I'll tell you what he did. I'll never forget. There was one time that I was with him for about 45 minutes. Asking him, talking to him in his house. And the entire time, he has a pile of papers, literally like this high, hundreds. And the entire time, he's signing his name to each one as we talk. And what were they? They were all letters to all the donors that came to the Mir Yeshiva dinner, thanking them for their donation, thanking them for helping the yeshiva. And I'm telling you right now, I watched with my own eyes that it took him around 30, 40 seconds just to sign his name on each one, because his hand would be flying in every direction until he was able to get it down on the page. 30, 40 seconds, and he signed his name. Each one. Mamish. Each one. He couldn't have a stamp. He couldn't have a computerized image. He couldn't have someone else do it. He understood what it meant for every person when you get back a thank you signed by the Rosh Yeshiva. How meaningful it was. How it would make you feel. He understood. I know this. So he took the time to sign everyone personally, even with all that he went through. Now I know that that went on till his last day in this world. Because every time in the last bunch of years, whenever I'd go to visit, and the highlight of every trip was to visit and bring my children to him, Baruch Hashem, Shmuel, met him a few times, and Baruch Hashem, Neshama did as well. That was it. Never forget. The first time I brought Shmuel and the big kiss that he gave Shmuel. Because I remember the first time the Rosh Yeshiva gave me a kiss. I was leaving Eretz Yisrael one time. I went to meet with him before and spend a lot of time talking to prepare for Chutz La'aretz. I remember he leaned over and gave me a kiss. And I remember like leaving and just like, I don't think I was walking, I was floating, like a kiss from the Rosh Yeshiva, a kiss from Nachum Finkel. I still feel it. I didn't want to wash my face for like days. I remember I ran, I was very close with Rav Daniel Kalish, he did nafshi, he was the Manal and Waterbury, the Chevra all knows, I'm sure. See, he was learning in the mirror at the time. He was in the Kailal in the mirror. I used to go to him like every second or third Shabbos. For Shabbos. And I remember running to the mirror to find him, to tell him the Rosh Yeshiva just kissed me. Like I felt like I'm the most special diamond in the world, you know? So whenever I'd go to him the last few years, I'd always write him a little check for the yeshiva, Zakar Satov. I felt it was, trust me, very, very little. Nothing, you know. It's not like Rechnas, this check. You know what I'm saying? Like, you see what he gives. Oh, incredible. Supporting the whole koil. Anyways. I mean, I could write that. It wouldn't do anything. You know? Well, it's very little. What happened was as follows. So I was in Eretz Yisrael Yom Kippur. And it was Yom Kippur was on Shabbos. And when Yom Kippur's on Shabbos, they get to stay Sunday as well. So there's Sunday afternoon. And I was with a few Talmidim. Pretty sure Yehuda Williams was with me on this day. I'm trying to remember who else. And we were going to go to the Rosh Hashiva. Because I never spent, even if I was there for one day, part of that day had to be to go to Rosh Hashiva. I would never not go to... It was the highlight of every trip. It was Sunday afternoon around 5 o'clock. My flight was that night, and I was going to go to the Rosh Hashiva because I got into Eretz Yisrael probably like that time. I got in Erev Yom Kippur Friday, and have time then to go. I was running in Yom Kippur. Not Yom Kippur till Tzav Yitzchak, you know? And then, so I was going to go to Rosh Hashiva and pretty much then go back, pack, spend time there in Koisel, and go straight to my flight. And I get to the Rosh Hashiva, this day after Yom Kippur, it's Bein Hazmanim, but he's sitting and learning with a few Bachrim. I see, when you walked into this hallway, you could, if the door was open, you could see straight into the dining room. So the Rebbetzin comes, and I'm talking to the Rebbetzin, and she's so sweet, and I say, tell the Rosh Hashiva I was here, I'm not going to be Mevatel, I can't be Mevatel's Torah. And I was supposed to be back in Eretz Yisrael like seven weeks later for Thanksgiving that year. I had a flight already. So I said, I'm going to be back very soon, tell the Rosh Hashiva I was here, send my love. The Rebbetzin looks at me and says, no, you have to go in. I said, I'm not going in. He's learning. The Rosh Hashiva is learning. So you have to go in. The Rosh Hashiva would be very upset if he knew you were here and you didn't come to see him. Everything basically pushed me in. I don't mean physically, but... So I went. And I spent maybe a few minutes, 5 minutes at most with the Rosh Hashiva. He was in the middle of learning. I gave brachas and gave my talmidim brachas and we spoke. And I said, I'm coming back soon. And he gave me a big kiss. And I gave him a little check. And that was the last time I saw the Rosh Hashiva. Because that was Yud Aleph Tishrei. And Yud Aleph Cheshvan, 1 month exactly later, was when he was Nifter. It was one of the biggest shocks of my life. And the pain of that day, the tzaras, the avails of that morning. That was till today. But listen to this, Chevra. About a week later, I get in the mail a letter. It's a letter from the mirror. And it's a letter from the Shiva thanking me for that last donation a month earlier. Signed by the Rosh Hashiva. The postmark on the front of the envelope is Yud Aleph Cheshvan, the day of his Patira. And I took it as such a neshika, such a kiss, a goodbye. Like, I'm still here with you. I'm still here with you. That was the Rosh Hashiva. But that was the godless Rosh Hashiva. Of course, there's Amelis B'Torah, is godless HaTorah. But he was Ish Chesed in every way. He lived for others. There wasn't a time, if I ask him, can I bring Talmidim? Of course. When's good for Rosh Hashiva? Whenever's good for you. Could Rosh Hashiva speak to Talmidim? Could he give the Sure. When? Whenever's good for you. When I was my first year married, we were in Antioch by Kol. And I spoke to Rabbi Moshe Benavitz, and I said, we have to have the Rosh Hashiva speak to the Kol. So he says, if you could put it together, for Avada. So I called the Rosh Hashiva. I said, Rabbi, and with the Spirit, he said, of course, whenever is good for you. It was mamish, every time. So you know what we did? We didn't have the chutzpah to bring the Rosh Hashiva the mirror to Efrat and make him travel to Kol. We rented out a whole hall with a speaker system, buses for the Kol, thousands of dollars to be able to hear the Rosh Hashiva speak, and it was the highlight of the summer. He spoke for like 20 minutes to the whole Kol. Every guy got to go over, get Mamash Shalom for the Rosh Hashiva. Never forget. But when's good for Shiva? Whenever's good for you. Whenever's good for you. Although that's the way we should live. Becha Chaisman. Becha Chaisman. Baruch Hu loves us. Kach Baruch Hu loves us, and then he wants all of us to be nice to each other because we're his children. Trust me, you know it's the most special thing for parents? When their children get along. And when they're so nice to each other. And that's when we'll be like, Halavai, Hashem will always enter our tefillahs. It'll Ke Yaakov. B'chach Chosmin. Our avoid at least. Torah, avoid this Engimil's Chesper Chesed should be the foundation. And then we'll know. Hamevi Goyal of Nevenayim Lan Shema B'Yava. Maybe Goyal, when Magen Avram, and we Zoichar Gula Shleim with Bias Mashiach, Meher Bimeno.